Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly, and joining me is Brian Black.
Howdy.
Howdy. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. I'm a last-minute substitution, everyone. He actually had two other people that were supposed to be here, but they both backed out on him, so I'm the last choice.
Don't do that. You were a first choice in my heart.
Right.
No, anyway. Well, Brian is here to talk about Steven Soderbergh, and I think it would be fair to say that he's not necessarily a Soderbergh expert, but one of the things about Soderbergh is that he's so prolific that almost anyone can be an expert because he's made this so many movies that people have just seen without even necessarily realizing
it. I've seen almost a dozen by accident, not really even knowing that all of them were his movies.
Right, so. And I think that's probably true for a lot of people. So that's something we'll talk about. The reason we're talking about Steven Soderbergh, is because his new movie, Contagion, opens this week, and we saw that earlier this week, and I liked it. I thought it was...
What?
I know. It's weird.
Strange.
But, I mean, I will say that I generally like Soderbergh, and there are some Soderbergh movies, because he's so prolific, he's definitely made movies that have not been that well received, and I like almost all of the movies of his that I've seen, including ones that are generally not so well regarded. But this movie has gotten good reviews, Contagion, overall.
His craftsmanship is always good. You know, even when he's being super experimental, he makes good movies.
Yeah.
You know, and they're always a little bit different, a little bit offbeat, a little bit something. You know, even when he's doing something, I don't want to call it a genre movie, but...
I mean, this is very much a mainstream film, Contagion.
Right, absolutely, yeah.
You know, it's being marketed towards a mainstream audience. Mm-hmm. It's being shown in IMAX. It's got a big wide release.
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling, not that it was being, well, you know, they're highlighting that Matt Damon is in it and, not
tons
the Bourne Identity
people.
Crowd,
right.
But I don't know. It's being marketed as a straight up thriller.
Right.
And I would say it's a little more thoughtful than that.
Yeah, which is what I liked about it because it is thrilling. It's not taking that away. The plot of this movie is that a previously unknown, very, very deadly virus is spreading across the world, and there's no cure, there's no vaccine, and lots of people are dying.
Right. It's neat because it traces it from the first person all the way across the world, and it does it in a very procedural kind of way, kind of like a police procedural.
You see
everything. You see the Center for Disease Control, how they react to it. You see the average person on the street. You see just – It's neat.
Yeah, it is neat. And I think that was what, like, one of the things that I really liked about it, that it was very methodical and very careful. I know Soderbergh and Scott Burns, who's the screenwriter, did a lot of research and talked to a lot of real scientists, and including someone who designed their fictional disease for them so that it would be plausible.
Right.
And I appreciate that because I feel like a lot of movies like this, and maybe the marketing kind of points to this movie as that kind of thing, are about the end of the world.
Right.
And sort of the fact that this disease is spreading across the world is just the catalyst for a movie about the post-apocalypse and people turning on each other
Action.
And all that sort of stuff.
Right.
And that's not what this movie's about.
Although those things are present.
Yeah.
But it's more about the people. You know, he sets up a pretty large cast of characters. This movie stars everyone, by the way. I mean, literally every...
Really, yeah. I mean, there's just a huge number.
If not
number.
All A-list, then at least A's and B's.
Right.
Yeah, there's just everyone's in this movie, which is kind of cool after you get past the fact that you're going, oh, well, there's Lawrence
Fishburne.
Right,
it's a little distracting
there's
Kate
Winslet.
Yeah,
but then they're all good actors. They're
all
excellent actors,
right.
As a matter of fact. And all their characters are real people, and they all play out in a realistic fashion. And, you know, when you do that, like in many movies, you have two really famous actors and a bunch of people you don't know about, and you know that the guy you don't know about is going to die. But in this movie, you don't know that because everybody's famous.
Right.
You know?
And it's
or
very.
Everybody's at least well known
or
at least a major character because it's a huge ensemble.
Yeah.
So it really works.
Yeah. And it's very unsentimental, I think, in the way that it presents these characters, that even the ones that, whether they're famous faces or not, ones that you get to know, ones that you start to care about, can be dispatched, and Soderbergh isn't sort of holding back on any of that.
Right.
So.
And it's not super melodramatic either. I mean, somebody, you know, it's very clinical.
Right.
You know, people just die.
Right.
It's not like, you know, they die just as they're reaching for the switch to launch the nuclear missile or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
It's I don't know. It's very, like I said, very clinical.
Yeah. I think there were a lot of moments, actually, in this movie where it was building up to some sort of cliched thing that you would expect in a movie like this, like, oh, they're going to make this mistake or they're going to slip on this thing and the virus is going to... And it doesn't happen.
Destroys the world.
Right.
Or the opposite where, you know, a miracle this or... You know,
right.
It's very realistic and I think something that we may be doing here where we're saying clinical or I'm saying clinical, I'm saying methodical, I'm saying... All of those things kind of sound like it's boring. It is
right.
not a
no,
boring movie
it,
at
it
all.
No, it really
very,
draws you in, yeah.
Very gripping. It moves along very quickly. I don't even know how long this movie is. How long is it?
Yeah, it's not very long. It's like 105 minutes, I think, or something.
Was that all? Because
yeah.
it moved very quickly.
Right.
I didn't want to get up and go to the bathroom during
right.
the, right at the two-thirds mark yeah. like I normally do or whatever.
Right, right.
I had no intentions of getting out of my seat because I really cared about what happened. It was interesting. My only, if I were going to back off, because this, I wouldn't say that this is an awesome, awesome movie.
No, but it's a very well-made movie. Yeah,
it's really well-made. Lots of good characters, interesting plot, lots of realism, lots of plausibility. But I would say it's you like the fact that it's not about the end of the world and it's not about the apocalypse.
Right.
But I, as odd as it seems for a movie where 80-something million people die, it's a little bit nice for me. I felt like it could have been grungier. It could have been...
I suppose.
Then you're kind of... You're launching into 28 Days Later
right,
territory.
Right, right.
Where
I mean,
it gets
because,
really slimy and,
yeah.
you know, or, you know, and people start shooting each other or whatever.
Yeah.
There's actually a very... One of the few actual acts of violence in this movie occurs almost off screen. And
right.
it's much more startling because there's none of that
right.
surrounding it. You know, people aren't rioting with pitchforks and torches in the streets or anything like that. But then there is something
you
where
the sense
you lose
that, like,
that social order.
Beyond the scope of what we're seeing,
right.
some of that bad stuff is happening.
You see a lot of those results, but you don't see a lot of the actions. And
right.
so therefore, when you do see something, it really stands
startling,
out.
Right.
But once again, it's a little bit nice. It's a little too polished, and which is odd for Soderbergh, actually, now that
yeah.
I've looked back over his list of movies, because he is so experimental and he is so offbeat or whatever.
Right.
But once again, though, for pure entertainment, it really worked.
Yeah, it really did. I think there were, because it's so sprawling, there are a couple subplots that don't necessarily go where you would hope them to go, or they just kind of peter out a little.
Right.
Marion Cotillard plays a doctor from the World Health Organization
mm-hmm.
who there's a whole kidnapping thing going on with her, and that kind of
it was okay,
didn't
but it,
really pan out.
It either
I
should have been ramped up or left out.
Right.
I don't know, though. It was a short movie and it worked, and maybe that's part of the charm, I guess, is that everything doesn't always work out like you think it's going to. You
right.
know?
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, overall, I think I recommend this movie definitely, and I do think it's an exciting movie, and part of that is because there's so many things, and that Soderbergh is constantly cutting to different elements, and so you're always on edge wondering what's happening here, what's happening there, and I like that. I mean, I think this is an extremely well-edited film.
Right.
And the soundtrack, the score by Cliff Martinez really kind
Ooh, cool.
of pushes you
yeah.
to...
kind of 70s sounding to me. Very
yeah.
$6 million Manny.
Right,
I don't
right.
know.
It's
That's
kind
what
of like electronic
whole,
stuff.
You know, they're looking through the microscope and the music's pumping away, and you know that's microscope music. And it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. I liked it. I liked it a lot, too. And Cliff Martinez has done a lot of Soderbergh scores, and they clearly have a good working relationship. And I think that's one of the things that Soderbergh does, is that he works a lot with the same people, not only... behind the scenes, in terms of Martinez or the editor on this movie, I think his name is Steven Mirion. I'm probably screwing that up.
Mm-hmm.
But who's worked on a bunch of Soderbergh movies. Of course, Soderbergh himself has also edited a bunch of his films because
right.
that's one of his things that he's almost Robert Rodriguez-like in that he
right.
you know,
very
does
hands-on.
A lot of functions. Yeah, he's the cinematographer, for example, on Contagion
right.
as well as on most of his films.
And doesn't he use a pseudonym sometimes to separate himself from that?
Yeah, he uses the name, I think it's Peter Andrews that he uses as cinematographer.
Why?
It was something along the lines of, and he's kind of fussy about this stuff. This is from Wikipedia, so this may not be entirely accurate, but because of guild regulations, he couldn't be credited as like cinematographer and director together
oh.
because between writer and director, you can't have extra credits or something like that. So it had to be a separate earlier credit.
Right.
But he didn't want his own name to appear twice.
Gotcha.
So he uses this pseudonym. And the same actually for when he's the editor, which he's not here. But when he is, he also uses a pseudonym for that. I think it's Marianne Bernard.
Hmm.
So I don't know. He's where he doesn't like possessory credits, you know, a film by or whatever.
Right. Well, he's already Steven Soderbergh.
Right.
It's
which
okay,
is,
you know?
I think that's the thing is that
yeah.
like he has a brand, even though he is a chameleon in a sense that he's done a lot of different genres and a lot of different kinds of films. But I think there are a lot of people who are going to see movies because he's the director. So yes, they want to know that.
Well, he's, you know, he's big for the Ocean's movies. I mean, his big movies are big, and he is, you know, they do say a Steven Soderbergh film in the ads.
In the
yeah. Because there's, there's a huge following for that stuff.
Right, right. I mean, I think, probably the Ocean's movies are his most popular, well-known series. And we were talking earlier about these, and you seemed like you're sort of underwhelmed with the Ocean's films.
You know, the first one, I don't know. I just, I honestly didn't, well, you know, we don't need to go into a whole review of Ocean's 11. But the first one was kind of, I mean, the original didn't really deserve to be remade, but I got it. You know, he wanted all of his
buddies.
I mean,
I think it deserves to be remade
in
that it's kind of not that good a movie, and maybe you could make a better movie.
But, you know, it was really, it was very self-indulgent, and just, I didn't understand why they needed 11 people to do this.
Because it's in the title, man.
I know, but, you know, in the first one, it almost made more sense than the second. Anyway, the first one was kind of, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was all right. And then I liked the second one more because I think they realized that, okay, so we're really just a whole bunch of friends, and we want to make a movie, and we want to look cool, and so we're just going to do it and throw in a little weird dialogue that we've made up ourselves, and oh my gosh, Julia Roberts is playing Julia Roberts, and
see,
she looks
just
like Julia Roberts.
I found that so annoying in that movie.
You know,
like,
I thought it
just
was okay. You know, they had the real Bruce Willis. I mean, it was, once again, it was bubblegum. It was cotton candy for the mind, but it was at least it acknowledged that it was kind of a trashy little fun movie as opposed to this. You know, I like heist movies, and Ocean's 11 was not a good heist movie.
Really? See, I thought it was. I feel like it got more. Like, Ocean's 12, I could not follow, and Ocean's 13, too, which I think is better. Like, so complicated and nonsensical that it didn't really, like, you couldn't understand what they're trying to accomplish half the time.
That's my thing is that they made a more serious movie on either end of it, and it just wasn't, the result wasn't that good.
Right.
It was okay, don't get me wrong. I stayed till the end, but it was, I don't know. They're all right. But if I were going to say Steven Soderbergh, he's most famous for the Ocean's movies, and a lot of people like him, but I've seen 5 other ones that were way better.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I think those Ocean's movies are fun overall. I probably like the first and third ones more than you do. And I thought the problem with the second one was that they're drawing so much attention to the fact that they're just hanging out and being cool, and they're almost like rubbing your nose in it, like, look how cool we are and how famous we are and how good we look.
Well, I felt like they were doing that with the other ones. They just weren't acknowledging it.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. And I liked them all. They were all, you know, they were all right.
Yeah. So but what Soderbergh movie would you say you more than liked or that you would recommend to people to see?
I recently rewatched Out of Sight, which I liked when I saw it originally.
Yeah.
But that is just a great movie.
Yes, it is.
It's from beginning to end, it's just so well constructed, and there's so many neat things. And actually kind of a similar thing there. Batman, Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Michael Keaton.
Or George Clooney. He was also Batman and also in that movie.
That's true. That's true. Michael Keaton plays the same character that he played in Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown.
Right.
Just at another point in time because they're both written by Elmore Leonard.
Yeah.
But it was a neat thing because, you know, they had this character and it was just smart to put him in the movie again. You know? Anyways, Out of Sight, great. Jennifer Lopez, who I would not consider to be a great actress.
No, that's like her one great performance.
She does a great job.
Yeah.
And then George Clooney and the
chemistry they have and that. I did a few months ago a podcast on here about great movie sex scenes. And that scene in Out of Sight with Clooney and Jennifer Lopez. Yeah, where it switches back and forth. That's just
perfect.
Like one of the sexiest things ever in a movie.
Yeah, it was really, in fact, that's the one thing that really stood out that made me go, wow, this is a fantastic movie. Where before I thought it was good, but just it didn't leap out at me. Traffic.
I've
never seen Traffic.
Right.
I've actually had Traffic in the Netflix queue. I've had it sitting on my table 5-6 times, and I don't know. It just seems a little heavy for me, and I always think, oh, do I really want to watch? It's like 3 hours long, isn't it?
Is it really? You see, I haven't. I mean, I think I saw it in the theater when it first came out, and so I don't recall how long it was. I mean, I liked it a lot at that time.
Very famous movie.
It is very famous. I mean, Oscar winning.
Right.
And I think, and this is a recollection from that's maybe a little hazy, but I don't remember it being so heavy in terms of like, it's going to be, you know, you're going to be depressed or it's going to be trying to teach you something or something like that. Like, it's still very stylish. It's still very exciting and well acted. So, I mean, I would say if you're thinking of it as like some sort of tiresome, like it's going to be a message movie or something like that, Well, I don't think it's like that.
I kind of got tired of the whole Coke smuggler movie genre that was going on for about 10 years there, and I guess maybe that's what I lumped it in with.
Right. You know,
like Blow and all these other movies.
Well, it's definitely better than Blow.
What else is there? So, you know what I really liked? And I know that it got a lot of buzz and a lot of people, there was a lot of backlash against it. I really liked The Girlfriend Experience.
I liked it too, actually. And I had the experience of going to see it with a friend and coming out, and he was just like, could not stand. I thought it was the worst piece of crap he had ever seen. And I thought it was, again, it's really stylish. It's really well edited and well shot. And he knows how to get, just like with Jennifer Lopez, where we can say, you know what? Out of sight, great performance. Otherwise, she sucks.
Right.
And to put it bluntly.
Well, I mean, we had talked about what was the other movie that you saw that I didn't, where Soderbergh actually picked someone out of a drive-thru and picked a bunch of local people that were not actors?
Right, in Bubble, yeah.
Bubble. I haven't seen that movie, and you were talking about how great he is at picking somebody and getting the best performance out of them.
Yeah.
And you can't, I mean, he picked a filthy, filthy porn actress, you know, who has no discernible talents whatsoever,
right.
And then figured out what it was about her that would make her
interesting. Exactly. What kind of character can she play? Yeah.
Exactly. Whatever it is, he was able to focus in on it. And I felt like The Girlfriend Experience was a great movie. I really liked it.
Yeah. I didn't like it as much as you did,
right.
But I liked, again, because he's so experimental and he makes so many movies that he can kind of just take one little whim
right.
and be like, what if I took this porn star and had her in a movie and
right.
kind of just do that one thing with it
yeah.
and do it really well?
Well, you know, I mean, maybe not best picture, but certainly
right.
well worth watching and you know, once again, very efficient, very, very well crafted. It wasn't any longer than it needed to be, and it just told the exact story that it wanted to tell. And it just I felt it was a huge success.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing in that movie, too, is that visually, that Soderbergh is really good, and because he works as his own cinematographer most of the time, he's really good at composing images that
yeah.
in a movie maybe like Girlfriend Experience, where there's not a lot of plot,
right.
you know, there's not a lot of dialogue, but it just looks beautiful from moment to moment, and that draws
well, and
you
in. It fits
in
with the story, too.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
right. And even in Contagion, I think, where it's obviously a thriller and there's a lot of characters and story, there
mm-hmm.
just like a lot of those little moments, things like flashbacks to Gwyneth Paltrow's character when
yep.
they're trying to figure out how she's transmitted the disease, they just look really good.
Yeah, and it's funny. He has a great way. It's not gimmicky, but you know it's a memory just by looking at it.
Right.
And I guess maybe to touch on another thing, is very effective job in Contagion of showing us the contagion.
Right.
Showing us, and from the very beginning, you absolutely know exactly what he's going for, where he shows somebody cough into their hand, they touch their hand to the counter, the person on the counter picks up the cup, he touches the cash register, and
right.
you can see, it's funny, you can see something invisible spreading.
Right, without having to show some sort of special effect
right,
or anything
exactly.
like that, where another director might try
obvious.
To underline it more. Yeah,
yeah. exactly.
Yeah.
So it was very neat, and then he'll bring that back every once in a while during there's actually a really, really effective scene in Contagion where he just shows a completely normal exchange where someone drops something. The other person says, hey, you dropped something.
Right.
And then they shake hands afterwards, and it just grosses you out
right.
because you know that somebody is going to die just from that one little thing, you know?
Right,
and
right.
It was, or maybe not. Or I don't know.
Right,
it,
and that's the thing is that
dread.
You don't know. And
yeah.
what I like is there are a lot of those moments where in another movie you'd be like, oh, this is the thing, and then this is how it's going to spiral downward,
yep.
and it doesn't.
Right.
And so if it does, it sort of takes you off guard, catches you off guard.
Yeah, very effective. Effectively evoking dread
right.
throughout the whole movie.
Right,
good.
Right. So,
did you like Solaris?
Yes, let's talk about Soderbergh movies that are unappreciated. I like
Solaris
a lot,
quite
yes.
a bit. Well, I felt like it owed a lot to the source material. I've seen the original Solaris.
Right.
And I liked it even though it was a bit long.
Right.
I liked Solaris quite a bit. But then again, it's exactly what you're talking about. The guy has so much clout. And he has he can get the biggest movie star in the world to star.
To do in this,
in
like.
This odd, obscure science fiction movie
right.
that no one's going to get.
Yeah.
But he doesn't care because
right.
he can put it out and he can make it happen and it will work
and
on some level.
People will, I mean, Clooney is really good in that movie too.
Yeah.
It's not like he's just a lark. I mean, people will do really good work for Soderbergh,
yeah.
even in these sort of weird obscurities because he's got that great relationship with actors.
Right.
And so, yeah, I like Solaris a lot.
And Natasha McKellen was in that.
Yeah, yeah. Viola Davis is really good in that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think that was a movie that was marketed as some big sci-fi special effects thing from the director of Traffic, you know, and people didn't know what to expect.
Exactly.
But yeah, I like that movie a lot. Another one with Clooney, The Good German, that nobody likes.
Well, once again, another experiment. I thought it was great. I mean, it was a little bit formulaic in that he was absolutely trying to evoke the war period movies, you know, of the late 30s, early 40s. He was, you know, of course he was paying homage to all that stuff. He was putting a modern spin on it, you know, the black and white. I liked it, though.
It was a really effective pastiche of that kind of thing, and then subverting it a little with the Tobey Maguire character, who's just this awful deviant. That you would not expect that out of that actor and that kind of character in one of those movies.
It's showing the awful underbelly of what really would have happened in one of those movies, I suppose. But in a very stylistic way. And I understand why some people didn't like it, but it was absolutely targeted toward movie buffs.
Yeah.
And it worked for me.
I agree. I think so. I think both of those are movies that are unappreciated. And, you know, if you've seen Ocean's movies and Traffic or Aaron Brockovich, which we haven't touched on, but that was another huge popular Soderbergh film.
It was good too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice crowd pleasing film. Julie Roberts gives a very good performance.
It's kind of a shame that I can't say more about it, because I liked it,
right?
And there was nothing wrong with it, but
I mean, it's very mainstream and it's very popular, but you know, to kind of move beyond that level into this sort of secondary, more experimental, you know, things like Solaris or Good German or Girlfriend Experience, all worth seeing too.
And you can always hark back to Sex, Lies, and Videotape, which everyone has seen, but I don't remember. I think I saw it, you know, on VHS 20 years ago or whenever it came out.
Yeah, and it was a little over 20 years ago, yeah.
And I think I maybe remember it. I remember being pleased by it, but I guess I need to go back and maybe before I do a podcast, maybe revisit it and watch it.
I should too. I didn't see it 20 years ago, but it's definitely been a while for me as well. But I think Soderbergh, I mean, that's his first film, and he's definitely, he's very assured right away, I think, even if we don't remember the specific plot details of that movie.
Right.
I mean, it's an impressively made film, and James Spader, great performance in that movie.
So they say.
Right.
I don't remember.
I remember being impressed with his performance.
You know, it's interesting, we talked about this right before we started recording, though, is that there are, of course, some of these movies, like, for instance, The Informant.
Yeah.
I really liked The Informant. It was quirky. It was another experiment. It was neat. It was Matt Damon, who was determined to be taken seriously as an actor.
He's a good actor, Damon.
You know, he has really
he
had
deserves
a tough
to be taken seriously
That's what I'm
as
saying,
an actor.
Though, is that, you know, I didn't know what to make of him before the Bourne movies, and then of course I liked him as an action star because the Bourne movies are so good, and then after that, he kept kind of surprising me. I keep expecting him to turn in crappy performances, and even in Contagion.
Yeah, he's very good
in
that.
He did a fine job.
Yeah.
And he was a great center to that movie, actually.
Right,
because
he's the everyman. He's the one person that you follow.
Once again, in anybody else's movie, and I mean literally anyone else's movie, he would have risen to the top and done some superheroic thing or, whatever. And he does do that in a very subtle way, but he doesn't do it in the action movie kind of way that you expect with that movie. And once again, just good. But in The Informant, sorry to leap around so
That's
much.
That's okay.
But in The Informant, he does this really strange.
It is a weird movie.
It's an odd movie about this guy who sort of works for the intelligence agency, but doesn't
he
really.
He has these delusions of grandeur about himself.
Right,
and
but he
kind of
does really have this going
on. Right, and he really plays everyone for fools in a lot of ways.
But then maybe doesn't realize that he's actually doing it and convinces himself of his own lies. And just a neat movie that really worked really well once again, and I completely enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And then, actually, The Limey.
Oh, The Limey is great.
I liked
The
Limey.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a Steven Soderbergh movie.
Right.
I remember seeing that. How long ago was that? 99?
Yeah.
So I saw it 10 years ago, and I remember thinking, wow, what a great movie, and no idea that was Steven Soderbergh. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got a lot, I think, and that's right in his big period of, like, super popular things like Out of Sight, Aaron Brockovich, Traffic, and that was a smaller release, but it has a similar, a lot of kind of jump cut stuff and the nonlinear bits in the scenes.
Well, and a little more ramped up action than most of his movies.
Yeah,
It was the pissed off white guy movie, you know?
Right,
that's the little genre.
Yes.
You know, like that some people try to imitate don't do so well. So, but yeah, it was a great movie.
He's actually reteaming with the writer of that movie, Lem Dobbs, on Soderbergh's next film, Haywire, which comes out next year with Gina Carano, the MMA fighter, another person that you would not expect to be a movie star. And I'm really curious to see what Soderbergh can do with her.
Interesting.
So I think that comes out early next year. So
we'll okay, see. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Which ones suck?
Which ones suck?
Which ones should you just leave alone?
Honestly, I don't know if I would say any of these suck. I think there are some that are so experimental. Full Frontal is kind of a failed experiment, I think, although it's got some interest. It was one where he gets all of these movie stars to be in this weird, Julie Roberts is in it, and David Duchovny. And
I remember the advertisements. I never saw it. It never grabbed me.
It's kind of a bunch of weird experimental elements that don't really fit that well together. Che is really, it's essentially two movies, the Che Guevara biopic that he did with Benicio del Toro. It's really slow. It's really, like Contagion, you could say it's methodical, but I feel like it was so removed that it doesn't, you could spend like four and a half hours with this character and don't really get a sense of him. And that's kind of frustrating.
Okay.
And I'm not actually a big fan of The Informant. I think it's interesting how weird it is, but I don't think that mix of that sort of goofy comedy tone and the soundtrack that they've got going in that movie, which is this kind of like jaunty 70s kind of thing.
I totally disagree. I loved it.
But I think one of the things about Soderbergh is that for any of these movies where we could say, oh, he did this, he tried these things, he did this experiment, and it just did not work. There's someone else out there who really thought it did work, where, just like on The Informant, or all the people who thought The Good German was a failure, but for us, it really worked because it spoke to something that we appreciated. So, I don't know. I think looking through this guy is one of the most consistent in terms of quality directors of the last 20 years.
And I saw some little clip a soundbite that said 22 movies in 22 years.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing.
The guy, and which is why I'm amazed that he claims he's going to retire after he makes, four more movies or whatever.
Well, maybe he'll just scale it back. One a year.
I hope so, because I think the guy's really talented and I would hate to see him stop making movies. So, see, and here we are out of time.
Right.
And you thought you hadn't seen enough Soderbergh movies, but there's so much to talk about with this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Contagion. I say go see it.
I absolutely agree. Definitely go see Contagion. And if you haven't explored the career of Steven Soderbergh, there are loads of movies for you to check out.
Absolutely. Don't watch Out of Sight first, because that's probably the best one, and it's just all downhill from there. Sorry. I'm kidding.
But it's a great movie. Do see it at some point.
Yeah.
All right. My thanks to Brian Black for joining me. And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything!
That's right!